What up, y'all? It's Panda AOD, and with me today is a very special guest. I'm going to allow him to introduce himself.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? My name's Jermichael, creator or founder of Express It Athletics, and I'm excited to be here today.
Thank you again. Like we said, I had hit you up a couple times on Facebook. I don't typically DM people, but people who are worth getting on an interview, I will DM you. I will figure out how to get in touch with you. And I just wanted to sit down with you because something that I want to make sure I prioritize this year as I'm going back into my podcast is not only interviewing artists, but interviewing more entrepreneurs, more creatives, because there's a lot of work that goes behind a lot of stuff that you do. And so I want to make sure that I highlight those people who are chasing their dreams to in different areas other than music. So that's why we have Express It here today. Hey. So first of all, I met you through Nate.
Yep.
Shout out to Nate, the camera guy.
But
I met you through him, and I forget how y'all like connected, but basically he was doing his promo shoots, which he does. Mm-hmm. And I know that y'all worked together on a few promo shoots, and you would give him clothes, or, you know, we bought some clothes, and it's just like putting those clothes on, I already was like, okay, he's serious. He about his business. And also, you were very young, or you appeared very young. You are young. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you, like who you are and how you got started in Express It.
So again, I'm Jermichael. I started Express It in 2020. So funny story. I've always wanted to like grow up and go to college and get that great job or whatever, suit and tie, blue collar. Well, I ended up getting a job at admissions, and I was kind of like super excited to have this job. Like, it was a salary position. First time I come home, tell people I'm working salary. That's the big bucks, I guess.
I know how that feeling is.
Yeah. Like, it was good. And so, but over time, it was just like I was in an office. I really was in a box, and I don't know. It was just a real different experience of kind of what perception you had of yourself in the world. So as that time was going on, COVID came. Mm-hmm. When COVID comes, it sends us home. And while I'm at home, I just start to think like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, like
so
what can
you
I?
You got your first job when COVID, your first corporate job when COVID.
Yeah, it was probably like, I say about 3-4 months before COVID actually is like announced and like, this is real, real. But people was getting sick and you kind of seen it, right in that time.
So what changes occurred when the pandemic hit?
So the pandemic hits, and the change, which to a lot of people, I guess, was maybe a negative thing, but it sends us home. When it sends us home, it start getting people thinking of different ways, I guess, to make income or different ways to be, to articulate whatever you already were doing. And I'm thinking like, you know, I want to talk. Like, I got so much to say. Like, you know, I'm from the west side of Dayton, and I done went to a PWI and graduated, and it ain't coming out the way I thought. So, you know, I'm just like in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna make a podcast. I'm gonna call it Express It, because we got to let it out. And I'm really like hard about this, like Express It. Like,
I know.
It took me a lot to think of it. So it was just the word. And I don't know. Like, we tried to start the podcast and I realized how hard it was. And I'm like, this is okay.
It is hard. People don't understand how hard it is to do a podcast.
Kudos. It's I want to give anybody who got a great platform where it involves you being on camera and trying to get people to tune in, because even you, like, this is, it takes confidence, and it's you got to be a special kind of person, because people, you can listen to stuff, but if you really got a consistent audience or something like that, you doing something dope.
Which we do. Thank you for always tuning in with us, guys. We appreciate it.
So I tried it. I failed. I'm like, okay. And I had a nice following on certain social medias, but the podcast stuff is different. Like, you know, I'm like, okay. The thing about it is, I'm like, we need to make a shirt then. That's what's going to do it, you know? So I make a shirt. I make about 20 shirts, and we sell out. And I'm like, okay. Well, maybe we need to make some apparel. So Express It Apparel, they going to like that. And I'm still got this podcast mind. Well, I start to run into the world of, like, apparel and talking to manufacturers. And I'm like, okay, he can make a travel suit? Like, he talking to me, like, I can make you whatever. And he's showing me his shop. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, this is, we'll do it. Let's see. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have to pay for nothing. He just, I guess, was trying to make business or whatever. I waited like 3 or 4 weeks and I had a package at my house and it had the logo of the brand that I had. And it was a full suit. And it was in some material. I was like, this ain't cheap, you know? Right. So I started wearing it, and you know, it's crazy.
That's not that's how you got hooked up like that, though, because that's a blessing within itself. You ain't getting distributors who gonna give you a free package of your clothing to get your business. A lot of times they'll give you free samples of other stuff, but not your stuff.
But not your stuff. Like you customize it, so you went, you know. And I know how it is making one thing when it's across the way.
Yeah,
it's like you need to. 50 pieces. Well, we need, you know, for it to be worthwhile. So that you're absolutely right. It was a blessing to have him reaching out, and really he must have maybe seen something in the logo, or maybe he seen something like, this is a real
thing. Or if y'all had a conversation, it could have been the conversation.
Could have been. I really don't even remember it for real. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna see if this real, whatever. Mm-hmm. Got it. I'm wearing it, and my best friend, Dwayne Chastain, at the time, he was, at the time, what was we at? We was like playing somewhere, whatever. I'm wearing it. His dad was the head coach of Meadowdale High School. And the color of the sample, custom sample that was sent to me was yellow and black. So it was the same color of the school. He like, what's that? I'm like, this is my brand. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, yeah, I want to get into like athletics. Like, I'm really, I won't say making this up as I go, but I'm using my life. Like, I'm an athlete. I wanted to express myself. I want to talk. So I'm colliding it all. Like, okay, well, and I play sports. Let me get over here. And he like, can you make some for my team? And that's just.
So that's crazy because, first of all, it takes a lot of just knowing. I would say you weren't making stuff up necessarily. It was just that you were starting to align with what you were supposed to be doing. So, like, it was just coming out. Like, it just was fluid.
Yeah.
So I would say that that's something that a lot of people experience. And it's one of those things where that's where imposter syndrome can come into because you're sitting there doing this stuff like it's natural to you, but then in the back of your head when you go home, you got to remember, what did I say? What was that pitch I gave? So it's definitely a process, but that's where some of those confusing feelings come in for entrepreneurs, where it's like, who am I? Like, am I really who I say I am? And with stuff, when deals come in, you like, dang, like they really believe me. That's, so it take a minute for you to get to the point of like, this is who I am.
That's how you know, because I mean, like you said, I'm saying make it up, but it's like, I'm just like
it's
in
just
this.
Coming
it's coming to me naturally. And some people, you see you do stuff good and be like, hey, teach me. I'm like, nah, bro, I really just kind of, you know, and maybe that's a blessing, but I definitely was aligning it with what I had been through. And one thing I always remembered was that, you know, I always care about my impact. I don't care about trying to be seen and as a certain something that don't matter. I always cared about how I made people feel from being around me. So, you know, wearing the athletic apparel was bigger than just trying to be in a different lane.
Right.
It really was what I wore in high school. Like,
yeah.
So, like, when you go back to can't afford certain things or how rough it was, I was so excited to be on the varsity team as a freshman.
Because
I could always wear my warm up to school.
And look fresh.
And I'm like, okay, this is acceptable. They ain't gonna say nothing to me because you know. And
that's crazy.
That's kind of where I also connected. So like you said, it's things that you naturally are doing as an entrepreneur, but you do get home and once this great thing is out there, you feel the pressure like, okay.
Yeah. And that's crazy because how you said like when it started for you was the pandemic. I didn't realize the pandemic was like the tipping point for you because I think you and Nate knew each other prior to the pandemic.
We did.
And I thought you was already like going since then. But for me and Nate, we both took our leap of entrepreneurship during the pandemic. Like we were full-time entrepreneurs for 2 years.
I think I remember him even talking about that.
Yeah. And the reason why we did it was because we were both in places. He loved the place he worked for, but he just wanted to elevate and he didn't see no momentum at the moment. For me, I really was ready to go. Like I was working in an environment where it was money driven. It was an investment consulting firm. So like the dollar was the focus. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. This is not kind of aligning with who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to people about their money. Like there's good value to it. But the way it was going for me in that particular company was, it was just not the focus that I wanted to do. So we both went full time. I was sitting there waiting on him. I'm like, look, you go full time first. I'll go after you because I'll be able to hold us and support us for a little bit. He was taking his time. So one day I went in his office. I was like, look, I'm putting in my 2 weeks today.
Hey.
And then shortly after that, I would say maybe a month later, he did the same thing. But it was because you get to your rope and it's like, what am I doing here? And I think the pandemic, like you said, was such a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. I looked at it as a great opportunity.
I did too.
Because it slowed everything down. Yeah. So even if you leave and you're struggling, first of all, they had those incentives coming in, or those government support, whatever you want to call it, coming in.
Stimulating us.
Which really wasn't much. I ain't saying that to say that's what we relied on, but just in general, like that was something that people could rely on. And also, since everybody was getting furloughed and laid off, the whole economy slowed down. They weren't evicting people. So it's like, if you're going to take a leap, take a leap now.
It makes so much sense. And I guess for me, I think I was shocked to see how many people didn't take advantage of that.
Take advantage of that.
Because it was such an open opportunity to take a creative leap. And then to make it no better, you know, we're living in a time, even at the time of 2020, there's so many different ways to make, not that it's about money, but like, it's so many different ways to like create some
sustainable lifestyle.
Yeah, like, I mean, just getting on YouTube or showing your face, or just being consistent.
Yeah.
It don't even gotta be the best. I know everybody trying to live through this fantasy perception thing of trying to be perfected on social media, but honestly, if you just consistent at something,
right,
you'll be able to see, you know, like-minded people in the world who are gonna tap in, and next thing you know, you got clientele, next thing you know, you got a cash flow of things, and then right, you're doing something you love, and then it won't be that simple, but it can be with consistency. And
right,
it's I don't know.
So speaking to your journey, you are 28.
I'm 28.
You own your brand. Mm-hmm. You are you still work in the education system, mm-hmm, right? And then you also have a child.
Yep.
So how is it managing all of that? Your relationship, your child, your occupation, your brand. How do you manage all of those things?
I manage it honestly through God. Through God. And at first, it wasn't like that. You know, when you're young, I grew up in a church, but as you grow, you kind of get away from it. And then you know, you start to figure out, you know, later on, like, hey, I might need to find me a home or something. But mm-hmm, I pray, I seek his guidance, because, I mean, it's a gift from him that I'm blessed with. And so I am, you know, having an impact on other people, which Expresses stands by. The youth is our second chance.
Yeah.
So,
and you definitely lived that too.
I love it because, like, you know, like I said, I was the oldest of seven. So I've always had that role model position and with a wide range of ages. So it didn't matter to me. So that's mm-hmm, how I see it now. But yeah, like, through God and just, you know, using my daughter as motivation. Like, I started this thing with MGE.
Mia gotta eat.
Yeah, she gotta eat. And, you know,
your daughter's name, Mia or Maya?
It's Maya.
Maya gotta eat.
And it's, honestly, it's driven me to be able to get through and process things. So you learn how to emotionally deal with things when you grow up where you're from. Mm-hmm. And now I'm dealing with maybe unlearning and also tapping into myself and seeing what love language I have, or why do I react like this, or is this a lot, or I just need to learn how to manage what it is. And, you know, having that patience and self-awareness to sit and do that, it starts with God. Like, I pray and he helps slow it down for me, because it gets very, very rough.
Yeah.
Like, she's 8. Me and Jess been together 12 years. So we've been together since we were in 10th grade. And then, you know, like I said, I'm the oldest of 7 and first generational college graduate. So it's being looked at to continue to lead, which I'll do, but mm-hmm, also have an understanding of, like, you know, I can help, but you gotta let people go at their own pace, or you gotta expect people to be them and not be you.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that.
Have grace,
all of that.
That's so what that sounds like.
It's just time management.
Patience and grace.
A lot of patience and grace.
But that's dope how you, like, first you thought about it in your response. Because you took a pause when I asked you that question. And then you was like, God. And I think that's dope. And how you speak about it, you know it's true. And, like, I'm a very faith-based person, too. Like, a lot of people, some people are surprised when they hear me talk and I talk about God. But most people know by now. Growing up, I was kind of like a free spirit, but I still had that faith, like, core. But now that I'm older, I really lean on God a lot. Like, it takes a lot to just be a balanced individual, and we all have flaws. So the first step for everybody, or at least in my perspective, is to figure out who you are. Like, if you don't know who you are, you cannot actively move in the world and participate, because you're not showing up as your true self.
Exactly.
So I always emphasize to people, like, even if you don't, whatever you believe in, but I do strongly believe in God for myself, but I feel like you have to have a grounding, like a moral grounding. You have to have something you believe in, and you have to figure out who you are. And for me, when I did that journey, it gave me my principles that I stand on. So what that does for you is it allows you to not compromise on who you are when you're in any situation.
And yes.
By doing that, people learn around you. Because you don't have to put up with me how I am, but that means that you learned that that is not for you, and we don't, you know, cohabitate. We just go our separate ways.
That's perspective. That's what the business has really taught me, is perspective. The biggest thing is perspective. I know earlier, me and you was talking about, like, I mean, for dealing with people. but, you know, like, with the business, is like, even when we were talking about the journey of it, like, and I'm going to emphasize it for the sake of the video, is like, I'm really, really blessed, which is why I had to pause and really say God, because at the end of the day, you go from a podcast to some t-shirts to a suit to one team, one DPS school, and then now the entire Dayton public school.
You got the whole area.
And now we
the
got
whole region.
Yeah, like, we got Chicago public schools that we're working on. Haven't got anything we're working on. That's a big district. You have schools outside the district like Northmont, Xenia, Beaver Creek, Fayetteville,
And we've never seen nobody do that. Because that was what I definitely wanted to bring that up next. But I just want to say that I ain't cutting you off. But we've never seen anybody do that.
I've never seen.
All the schools.
Like, and then I got into the district and to the new Welcome Stadium and got my stuff in their actual stores, which is a custom apparel. So, you know, just going back to talking about what I've learned with patience and having grace and just knowing who you are, the business has taught me that, because it taught me perspective. And like how you were saying, is like, this may not be negative. It's just, I just learned that's what I won't tolerate, or I don't want to, you know, that don't align with what I'm doing, but it's okay. You got to have a perspective. And I think a lot of people maybe not necessarily scared of it, but it's not an easy, because certain things that feel, speaking for myself and in my opinion, being a black male and growing up in the West Side, there's like this hard case, hard, tough thing that's like, talking smack is my pride.
Which
and looking
is crazy,
tough.
We both are from the West Side of Dayton. I didn't know that until today.
So I'm West Side, Home Avenue of James Escher, Parliament's Dunbar, right by the Bass. I'm, you know, it's like you learn that, but then you get older and you kind of realize what really is tough. And it's that mental toughness. And it's that knowing when to walk away, or knowing how to disagree or agree to disagree, or knowing how to. The other day, I just was listening to two grown men. They had a disagreement. You can hear it. It was strong tension.
Yeah.
But the way that they both was delivering and talking to each other, because he was at work and he's a professional and people was around, I was so amazed at, like, they really are. I mean, it's the nonverbal, but the way that they, and then they smoothed it all the way out at the end. Like, it's like, not a lot of people can, you know how many people have died?
That's beautiful. That's an example. And I would hope and pray to see more of that. Like, that's what I would love. Like, if our society, especially just like our close proximity, could start to communicate like that, that would heal and improve the community so much.
It really will.
It would be such a good example for these young kids, because they out here, just their problem solving is off. And I've talked to a number of people who literally their opinion of the younger generation, which there's so many great things about them. They're very smart. They pick up things very well. But their ability to rationale and problem solve mm-hmm. is not that. It's not there. And I think that that's a tool we need to give the kids, because if you can just think about something rationally, you can like choose a different path. Like mm-hmm. you can see the map kind of this decision will lead me here. This decision will lead me there, and just make a better decision. And when you do make bad decisions, just learn from those bad decisions.
Yeah.
And something you said earlier, the reason why you were talking and I was like, oh, like that's a good one, because I had just posted a social media post that said people are afraid to ask why. Like, first of all, people need to find out why they're doing something. And a lot of times we'll do the exercise. We'll do, what's your vision? What's your mission? What's your why? But then as you get working in your business, you forget to look back at that stuff. You don't even realize what your why is anymore, because it could change. Or it could be the same, but you got to go back to that why and realize, like, what am I meant to do? What am I doing here? And so one thing is, some people just are forgetting to do that exercise of going back and this is why I'm doing it. The other side of it is people have never done it yet, or people haven't done it because they're afraid to ask why. Because when you ask why, like, what is my purpose? What am I here to do? Or why am I doing what I'm doing right now? The answer is what you're afraid of. Like, there's some people who you might be kicking it every day, every weekend, you going out with this group of friends. If you ask yourself why and you find out that the answer is not what you want, then your spirit or your conscience is going to push you to change.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just want to avoid that change.
They want to. I like that you said avoid it, because it's that's crazy. Because, I mean, like I said, the brand, I don't know you got to see the E, man, the E. And it says live, learn, grow. A lot, what I'm living and learning and growing with right now is seeing like how certain things are a buildup. If you've been suppressing something for so long, or if you had a certain learning style around you, whether it's your parents or your siblings, for so long,
mm-hmm.
It's certain things psychologically that I think in our community, we don't even realize, I don't think, and really with the younger generations, like, I mean, they stressed.
Yeah.
I seen a 12-year-old, like he's stressed. Like, he's like, I'm stressed,
it's
man.
It's so crazy, because this conversation has been coming up all week. And I feel like every time I do an interview, the conversations that come up are like cycles of what the conversation has been for the week.
Wow.
And I feel like that just means that the conversation was meant to happen, because there was a lady talking to this organization I was at the other day. And she was speaking to their employees, and she was just basically talking to them about anxiety and stress. Mm-hmm. And she was saying how it used to start, the archetype or whatever for anxiety was 55 to 65 male.
Yeah.
Now it's grade school kids.
Yeah.
And it's both genders. It's just people are stressed out.
It's scary too, because, like, you know, before that, I always kind of thought like we're all different. I love school. I work in education. But I think that's the reason for certain things in your life that you want to make a change in. You don't run from it. You kind of go try to be the change. Mm-hmm. You know, school for me in the public system, it is what it is. You can see what you can see. Facts are facts. But, you know, trying to say, you know, this is what make you stronger, this is why it is, and I'm over those days, because, you know, we're not equal people, but we should all be treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean give us equal. Sometimes you can give Billy, you know, three problems, and you might be only give, you know, Jack one problem.
Right.
The goal is getting them to this same destination.
To progress, yeah.
And I was looking at a video the other day where it was like, this older man was kind of just saying, like, you know, and I have nothing against school. I mean, by all means, we need it. I think that we could just, with anything, continue to perfect and make things better.
Mm-hmm.
But like he was saying, we can't all be the same.
Yeah.
And if you took all of us in this room and wanted us to walk to California, you could get maybe 60 miles in today, and I may only get two.
Right.
But if we both get to California,
that was the goal.
Yeah. And they had opened me up, like, see, we're not taking advantage, I think, of the opportunity to talk to them sometimes, but I also see where so much damage has been done to the we're calling them parents, but I mean, I'm 28 and I got a lot of peers that are parents.
Yeah.
I don't know if we middle child, children. Yeah. I don't know if we big kids or, cause you know, you, when your trauma hit, you could be that age of where it hit. You might be 30, but you may be stuck in 18.
That's so, and so funny, I don't want to be
calling. Yeah, I don't want to be calling you. And
I've never heard it put like and, that before. And the dog, and you, everybody talk about their inner child, but are you a inner like 5 year old? Are you
exactly.
a teenager? Like,
and it matters, cause I mean, man, you once I seen that, even within my own film, I could see like, okay, that's about like an 18 year old, and then the cycle is like, okay, and you can see adult ways, you know, whatever. We gonna learn it, but you can see where that. What you said earlier is like, why you go out and drink every day? You might not want to know that answer. Maybe right. you do know the answer, you want to avoid it because like you said, are we afraid? Or one thing I also has figured out is a lot of people are scared of how heavy it is or to deal with it. It's like,
it's not easy.
I'd rather just do this.
It's not easy. I tell people that all the time because I'm always recommending to people who I care about to do self-work when they come to me with something. I've also got to a point in my life where I don't give advice unsolicited. Like, I'm not just out here telling people,
just telling, yeah.
oh, you need to do this or, oh, you need to do that. But when somebody comes to me with a conversation and they want to have feedback, then I'll give some type of feedback. And usually it starts with do the self-work because a lot of times what I hear when people are challenged is that they aren't, like, they'll tell me what they want to do or what their goal is, but then they'll turn around and their behavior is the opposite. And so to me, that means you're not doing the self-work because you have to, again, know who you are, know what your morals are, what you stand on. And then if you are approached by something, an opportunity, somebody who you want to be in relationship with, and they are not going on that same, they're not aligning with that, then you just shouldn't bother with it because you're wasting your time. And so I think that something that you said, which was, the destination is the importance, not everybody getting there the same way, which is true. I think that's something that is also about conversations and how we relate to each other. Because like what you were saying with the two men that you had experienced and how they were both heated in a debate, but they weren't in each other. Like they settled it as men.
Yeah, they did.
That's called a constructive conversation. And I think people don't realize like when you go in a conversation with people, you should always have that end goal in mind. That's something that helped me stop being a conflicting type of person because I love conflict. Like when we talk about what you were raised up under, me and my siblings and my family, we were raised to talk people down to the ground. Like we were raised to, like, arguing was a sport.
Yeah.
And I found out when I was like 18, around that age, that was just so unhealthy. That I left it. Like I stopped doing that. It was probably a little bit younger than that, but the way I got out of that was starting to look at the conversation of what's the end goal of the conversation. And 9 times out of 10 is to leave in a peaceful place, but also to leave not feeling like, you know, I have any new enemies or anything like that. So I think something that I just want to highlight is constructive conversations and the ability to know what you want to say in the beginning. Also leave space for the other person to say stuff, but know what that end goal is. Like if you're meeting with somebody on business, if you're meeting with somebody on a conflict resolution type of situation, if you go in knowing that the end game is peace, or with business the end game is to close this deal, then you're going to navigate the conversation in a way where you're not just going in like, what's for me.
Your perspective is, I gotta give a shout out to your perspective, because a lot of people don't have perspective and like talking, you just hit something. Because what I've learned is that so many of us, and Nate can attest to this, like our cameraman, sorry.
They know.
In basketball, when we play pickup and stuff, or maybe in work or whatever,
it can get a good one.
A conversation or a misunderstanding or whatever can go off into emotion and away from the actual situation so fast. And what I've learned is that in our community, like, everything is emotional. It's all pride and ego. And I mean, you could have just been upset because you had a bad day today, but you've never been taught to talk about that. And it's like, we have to really dive into seeing, why are these things happening? Like, why do you see this as weak?
Right.
Why do you see this as boring?
Right.
Why do you want just this hour or 3 hours of satisfaction every night instead of handling this work.
Yeah.
That may take some time.
Ooh, the work is hard. It's hard.
Because it's hard. And
we all want to just be people. We all just want to exist without having a degree.
Without having, but if you take time to do some self-work, which is hard, what you end up doing is learning how to deal with hard.
Yes.
And then when you do that, any approach or encounter you got with another individual, you
the
just
hard
went
ain't
through
as
your
hard either.
So you're going to, yeah. you just went through your own, you're going to have more respect. I got to give you your space. I gotta let you go through your process. It'll just be healthier. And like you said, from, you know, I'm a winner's argument. I come from that where you just wanna win everything.
You win the argument, you come home and talk about it. You tell your family how you just talked this person down or whatever. That's how we were. And in the household, it was worse. It was like Titans.
Too.
It was like the Battle of the Titans. So I'm glad that perspective freed me though. Like it gave me so much relief. And from there, it just led down a path of doing that self-work. And it's dark, it's not easy, and I think that people think once you do the work, mm-hmm. you good. Like, I figured out who I am, I ain't gotta do it no more. But you have to, because if you expect yourself to grow throughout life, then that person is a new person that you gotta get to know. You gotta keep doing that work with yourself, or you'll lose sight of who you are and like what you are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And in reality, like us both being, you know, having faith backgrounds, I believe that everybody's purpose is just to serve God.
Yep,
and
me too.
You thrive when your what you feel like your passion is, it exalts God. Like if you are lifting God up in what you're doing, then you're going to succeed because the way you're leading is correctly. Like if you are doing something and the intent behind it is a negative intent, and it may not be directly perceived as just lifting God up, but you having your passion behind Express It for the kids, you're actively doing that, and you're not like faking it. Like you're really out here promoting the kids, you are out here inspiring the kids. So it's like God gonna keep looking out for you because what you're doing is serving a greater purpose. So to bring it all back, because we could talk all day, mm-hmm. and I'm definitely gonna get you on a podcast again, but let us know a little bit about Express It now, like what you have coming up or what you're looking forward to and how people can support you.
So what I got going on now is, like I said, we've gotten in so many different markets since kind of getting all of Dayton Public's mm-hmm. schools and stuff. And so right now we're working on Chicago Public Schools. We're working on a big, like, I don't want to say partnership, but some type of way to assist this track and field that's coming up mm-hmm. with Dayton Public, as well as just in general.
Yeah.
So what people don't, I don't know if people have noticed it, but we were primarily like basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came in, because it was a travel suit, but it just attached to basketball. But then we got into track and field. We got into volleyball. We started to understand it's a travel suit. It's accessories. It's book bags. It's compression gear. It's socks.
Athleisure.
Yeah. You know, so where we're at now is kind of trying to perfect that system of having it available all the time on our website, being on our Instagram handles, like being able to get direct access to how do I purchase, what's in stock, what is this, mm-hmm. And separating the actual institution side, which is the schools and teams, and where you're getting a pre-order of it's a demand of I need to suit up these team mm-hmm. versus the apparel. Mm-hmm. Like I can make and wear my stuff all day and I have it available as well. So that's two different sides. And we want people to understand that, mm-hmm. you know, this is what we've dropped. If we got it in stock, if we don't, but this is the institution side where we're used to dealing with 10, 15 plus orders for a team and just trying to get that out there. So, you know,
that's what's up though.
That's pretty, it's pretty,
I don't know how you fell into your strategy. I don't know how you, developed your model, but I will say that you are definitely like killing it. Like it's crazy. I seen it and I was like, when I seen you get a couple schools, I'm like, Jermichael doing his thing. But then when I seen that you were consistently getting schools, and then also you work with coaches just on a relationship basis, you have a lot of connections with coaches, mm-hmm. with people who are educators. It just all aligns. And also this generation that y'all suiting up for these sports, this is the generation that's going to influence your brand. Like they're going to be purchasing your stuff when they see it in these stores, and they're going to be pushing it, and it's just going to grow so crazily.
It
just seemed like you did it so cool. Like you don't make a lot of noise. So like kudos to like the way you're moving. Kudos to like the way the brand began and where it is now. Yeah. And like, for sure, I feel like I'm definitely a fan of the brand, and Nate knows that. Like, me and him, we support you 100%.
No, absolutely.
We always got nothing but good things to say about you, because we need to support people who are out here moving like that. Like, nice, we don't have we have a shortage of people like this. Mm-hmm. So we want to always lift up people like you and the other great entrepreneurs we know. So thank you for coming and sitting down with me.
No problem.
For y'all who are tuned in, go ahead and follow Jermichael on social media.
Hey, you know, and it's a few of them. Let me get this right. The website is expitathletics.store. The Instagram for the institution. So all you coaches and business owners, or if you got a team of 5 or 10 plus, it's EXPIT Athletics. So that's at EXPIT Athletics. And then the same thing for just general apparel, custom stuff, colorful things. We kind of keep up with the seasons. That's EXPIT Apparel. So at EXPIT Apparel on Instagram.
And we'll tag him and everything, so y'all will find these tags. We'll make sure it's tagged on everything. I just want to thank you again for coming out. Oh, y'all know where to find us. TheArmyOfDreamers.com is the website. Follow us at AOD Media Group on social media, and we'll be back with another episode soon. Shout out to Express It, and that's it. That's a wrap.
It's a wrap.